Welcome to our evening service. We want to commence by singing Onward, Christian Soldiers. Let us stand as we worship the Lord tonight.
Thank you.
Amen. With the cross of Jesus going on before. That is the watchword of the child of God in every generation. And we pray that as we see ourselves in the cause of Christ, going forward in the purpose of the Lord, let us not lose sight of the victory that is ours, of the victory that has already been won for us. And as we continue in the battle of life, in the battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil, to know this Christian that we are on the victory side and that we are going forward in the joy and peace and power of the risen Christ of God. May that be our joy tonight. Let's come before God now, please, in prayer. Father, as we have been singing this hymn of praise, this word of thanksgiving, a note of joy for the heart of every child of God. Lord, we face many, many battles and struggles in our Christian life, but thankful that we can say we're going onward and forward and upward. And Lord, not by our own strength nor power, but in the strength and power of the risen Christ, of the Spirit of the Lord that abides within us. Help us not to be cast down or set aside. Let us not be defeated by our own sin or failing. We pray that we'll have victory in the Lord continually, that we will know the joy and peace of serving our risen Redeemer. I pray, Father, that as the devil would try to trip us, make us stumble and fall, to lead us into the dark dungeon of depression, Lord, always let us keep the key of faith right ready at hand, and that we will be released into the sunlight and the joy and the blessing of full and free salvation. Dear God, we pray tonight that we'll rejoice in the Lord deeply in our souls, and so that it will be seen, revealed, manifested, a testimony of our hearts. Lord, come near and bless us for this evening service. We stand, as always, in great need of your blessing and power, recognizing, Lord, that of ourselves we are nothing. And yet as we, endued with the power of the Holy Spirit, are able to worship, are able to read and understand the Scripture, are able to have that applied to our heart and to walk in obedience and faith, strengthen us, Lord, each day we pray. Remember those who are sad and grieving the loss of loved ones tonight. Remember those who have been widowed in our congregation. Bless each one of them. We pray for our sister Grace tonight. Lord, may she know your comfort and the strength and the presence of the Savior with her. Remember our sister Norma, who's also been recently bereaved. Bless her, we pray, and strengthen her. Remember Ann Rogerson, encourage her heart tonight in the loss of her mom. And Father, we know that not only are there needs of those who are bereaved, but there are those who are set aside because of sickness or age. Encourage them, Lord, and bless them. We are thankful for the body of believers that you have gathered around in this place. And Father, we pray that we will be united in the cause of the Lord and that we will not be divided by any kind of bitterness or division. Lord, we will be united going forward in the joy and peace of Christ. Revive our hearts, we pray. Give us the joy of being testimonies of the saving grace of our Lord Jesus. Father, we pray again that we'll have the joy of giving testimony, of seeing the doors open before us, and having that special joy of leading sinners to Christ. Remember the needs of our land today. They are great. We pray for our leaders. We pray that great direction and wisdom will be granted to them. We pray that they'll be kept from a bad pathway, and they'll be blessed to go in the right direction. Dear Lord, put your hand upon every individual need that we have. Remember the persecuted church tonight across this globe, and we pray that there would be liberty and freedom and help given. We think tonight of the Christians in Afghanistan, and oh God, we pray for their safety. We pray that they'll be a witness in a very dark day that's in front of them. Lord, we would pray against wicked and evil governments. And we pray against those who are terrorists and the Taliban that has done such wickedness and evil in this world. Oh God, we pray that you would help believers to be a testimony and a witness. Ever cover them, Lord, with your protection and safety. Remember Christians that are giving testimony in darkened countries where there is no freedom. Help them, Lord, we pray tonight, and pour in great blessing upon them and their lives and their families. Hear our prayer tonight. Lord, continue to watch over us. Bless this evening service. We pray these things in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Let's sing again, please, to the Lord's praise. Number 589, Soldiers of Christ, Arise. Let's stand again as we sing. Now, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4. We're going to be reading from verse 15 to the end of the chapter, Ephesians chapter 4. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to lust, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard of him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. But let him that stole steal no more. Rather, let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. May God bless his word as he will to your hearts as we have read tonight. A warm word of welcome to you all to our evening service. We're happy that you've come here in person, and also if you are viewing our service online, you are very, very welcome in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We again extend our sincere condolences to our sister Grace Puccini and her family in the loss of Tony. The memorial service was held here in the church last Wednesday, and we were very conscious of the Lord's presence with us, both at the graveside, the interment was first of all, and then also in the service. And I'd ask you to continue to pray, not only for Grace and for her family, but do pray, please, for unsaved family members and those who perhaps would hear the service a little bit later on if they were not present in the service itself. I ask you to remember, please, the sick ones in our congregation, and holding up again Dr. McClellan in our prayers, that the Lord would watch over and bless him. He's had a difficult week. It's been a hard one for him this past one with bodily weakness, and I do pray that the Lord would be with him and strengthen him. Also, I mentioned our brother Brian Limbaga today, this morning, as he has moved down to the Maritimes, relocating because of job requirement and an open door that came to him, and do pray that his family will be able to be united to him sooner than later, and that he would know a uniting of his family very, very soon. Remember, please, some important ministry going on this week. Tomorrow night at 7 p.m. via Zoom, we have a Sunday school committee meeting, and then on Wednesday evening, our prayer meeting and Bible study will be in person downstairs and also online via Zoom. And we would encourage you to be in attendance if you can, and if not, to be sure you're watching online and participating and being very much a part of this vital ministry. We need to prepare ourselves for every ministry that's in front of us, but also for every challenge. We do not know what a day will bring. We do not know how we need to prepare ourselves, and we must be in prayer for all of the work that God has called us to do. And so let's not be leaving that place vacant, but to be in our place and to be supporting each other and praying for the work of the Lord. Next Lord's Day, do remember our services in the morning at the regular time at 11 and at 6:30. Next Lord's Day is going to be, well, a special one, and one that is a happy and sad one. We're going to be marking the retirement of our brother George Robinson and sister Linda from their official ministry in the church as far as the work in the school and the church is involved. And we want to mark that in the morning service with a special presentation to our brother George. And then in the evening service and the fellowship afterward, we have a presentation to our sister Linda. And we're looking forward to that time of fellowship afterward, the evening service. And let me reassure you that in the fellowship time that will be following, we hope to do it outside under the canopy. And we have some sealed refreshments for you. And so if you feel comfortable about staying behind and joining with us, you're very, very welcome. We hope you'll be able to do that. And we look forward to that with the necessary social distancing and keeping all the protocols in place that we can for each other's safety. Oh, I want to sing again to the Lord's praise tonight, number 586. See the Christian battle weary. Well, we know that even though we might be battle weary at times, there is still great joy in knowing that we are in the hand of the Lord. Remain seated while we sing. Let me ask you to turn tonight, please, in your Bibles to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 3. 2 Samuel. But actually, we're going to pick up our reading in the second chapter and looking from verse number 28 of chapter 2, 2 Samuel, reading down into the first verse of chapter 3. And Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still and pursued after Israel no more, neither fought they any more. And Abner and his men walked all that night through the plain, passed over Jordan, and went through all Bithron, and they came to Mahanaim. And Joab returned from following Abner, and when he had gathered all the people together, there lacked of David's servants 19 men and Asahel. But the servants of David had smitten of Benjamin and of Abner's men, so that 70 men died. And they took up Asahel and buried him in the sepulchre of his father, which was in Bethlehem. And Joab and his men went all night, and they came to Hebron at the break of day. Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, as we have this word open now tonight, our prayer is simple. We need help from heaven. I need help, Lord, to speak the word faithfully and clearly. And everyone here and those listening online need help to understand and to have it applied to our hearts. We pray, Lord, that any who are unsaved would be brought to faith in Christ. And help those of us who are believers to walk in the center of Thy perfect will and to know the joy and the victory of living in Christ in victory. Hear our prayer tonight. Bless us now, we ask, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I want to think tonight with you on the opening verse of chapter 3, 2 Samuel. It says, now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. Put a title on tonight's message, it would be this: Victory in the warfare of the Christian life. Victory in the warfare of the Christian life. In the life of David, it was quite a journey from him being the shepherd boy until he became the king of Israel. And it was anything but being straightforward. From the time that Saul knew the kingdom had been taken from him, he fought tooth and nail against David. He fought against him because he did not want David to take over from him. Clearly, Saul was motivated by a wicked spirit. Now, while Saul seemed to have some ability both as a warrior and even as a leader, he was given to what I'll call fits of madness, it seemed, driven by envy, with a mixture inside him of at times seemed to have affection toward David, seeming to realize that David was the man God had raised up to be the leader of Israel, but at other times he had great hatred for David and indeed wanted to kill him. But now, as we move ahead in the historical account, Saul and Jonathan had both been killed in battle. They were fighting with the Philistines, and at this time, because of the hand of God against Saul and his family, they had been killed in battle. And David is being directed by the Lord to return back to Hebron, where he would be crowned king of Judah. In the meantime, Abner, who was the leader of Saul's army, he took one of the sons of Saul by the name of Ishbosheth, and he made him king. And Ishbosheth continued in the place of a king for 2 years. Then a major battle occurred, with Abner leading the forces of Israel and of Joab leading the forces of David and of Judah. And Israel that time was beaten. But a sort of peace treaty was agreed between Abner and Joab, because Joab was waiting for just the time when he would be able to kill Abner, the leader of the army of Israel, because of the death of Asahel, who was Joab's younger brother. Also, what Joab wanted to do was to remove Abner from being exalted to a place of authority in David's kingdom and army, because Joab aspired to that position completely himself. And now we come to the verse before us tonight, 2 Samuel 3 and 1. It both sums up the past and reveals the future. And it's important when you're reading through the Scripture and studying the Word of God to look for these pivotal verses. These verses that will indicate to you a summary, yes, of what has been occurring and of what's going to be occurring yet for some time in the future. It was a war between the houses. Saul at one time had been chosen by the Lord really as a way of judgment upon the people of God. Why? Because, well, they wanted a king. They wanted a king to be like the other nations. And even though Samuel, the prophet, had warned Israel very clearly that you are choosing a king as opposed to having God rule over you. And Samuel warned them very carefully that if you want the king, this is what he's going to do. He's going to take your men. He's going to take your daughters. He's going to take your land. He's going to charge you taxes and all the things that the king would do. But the people said, no, we want a king no matter what. And as soon as God granted them their desire, and Saul was the man, it turned out that he was not the man that they were hoping for. He quickly revealed his true heart. And he showed before the nation and before God that his own aspirations and his own self-judgment was put in place over the simple obedience that God required of him. And the Lord had actually said to Saul that if you will obey me, I will prosper you. I'll make you a great leader. But instead, Saul was governed by his own motive, his own heart. It was very clear that in Saul's case, he was going to implement situational ethics. He was a pragmatic man. In other words, when a situation came upon him, Saul was making a judgment. Well, should I go this way or should I go that way? If I do this, it's going to happen, but if I do this, it might turn out better for me. And so one of the most important events that occurred in his life that showed the heart of the man was when Samuel had commanded him to go and wait until he would come to make the sacrifice. And when Saul saw that Samuel was delayed, he went about and he made the sacrifice himself. And no sooner had he finished that, but then Samuel came on the scene and said to him, "What have you done?" And immediately Samuel was knowing that Saul had failed. But Saul at that time, he said, "I have done the commandment of the Lord." And Samuel said to him, "It is better to obey than to sacrifice. It is better to listen to the word of God and obey than it is to do what you think is the right pattern." My, what a striking lesson that is for all of us, friends, in our lives when we are presented with opportunities or options in our life, and we come down to something: should we obey the Lord or should we go in our own thinking? What Saul chose was situational ethics. In other words, when the opportunity of doing right or wrong, he decided what appeared to be the best move for himself. He offered the sacrifice, and he brought the judgment of God down upon him and upon the nation as well. It is very evident that Saul, from that time, lived his life in violent opposition and of bitter antagonism to the Word of God. And he determined to preserve and to hold up his own power, even if it meant killing David, the God-anointed leader that was to replace him. David was the spiritual man, and Saul comes to us as the carnal, the worldly, the wicked man. And the fact that is presented before us, it really gives us in chapter 3 and verse 1 of 2 Samuel a snapshot or a picture, an illustration, if you like, of the Christian life, of what it is to struggle and in the warfare that's going on between the old nature and the new redeemed nature. And friends, I want to present this to us all tonight, that we would be reminded every day that we are in a battle, that we are in a warfare, and that we are called as Christians to fight the good fight of faith, that we are called as believers to be going onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war, realizing that in the battle of truth and righteousness, there are going to be times of great conflict. And oftentimes, friend, the greatest conflict that you and I will face is the conflict that's going on inside our own hearts, our own lives. I want you to notice in the first place tonight the identity of the combatants. Who exactly is involved in this warfare, in this battle? Well, clearly, in the historical context between Saul and David, there was no mystery here. Saul was the man who was not spiritual. David was the illustration of the renewed man. And as we read tonight also in Ephesians chapter 4, and you might keep your finger both with in 1st, 2nd Samuel, but also in Ephesians chapter 4, we're confronted there with the phrase, the old man. It's a description that's given to us in the Bible to describe the old nature, the old man, the nature that is defiled because of sin. And in verse 17 of chapter 4 of Ephesians, Paul says, "There, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, over unto filthy lust, to work all uncleanness with greediness." And this description that is presented for us here of the old way, of the way of the ungodly, what we are confronted with here is emphasized over and over again in the New Testament, and we find it in verse 22, corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And if you were to look back in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, we have another description there about the person, the man who is dead in trespasses and in sins. And in the third verse, children of wrath. And the description that the Holy Spirit is giving to us, that the Apostle Paul is writing here, it goes through in detail, speaking about those who are vain, ignorant, blind, overcome with lust, unclean, greedy, liars, angry, thieves, violent speech. This description of the old man is something that is very ugly, something we don't want to see, something we don't want to really come to grips with. But friends, tonight, this description is very, very clear. This is exactly who we were outside of Jesus Christ. And all of the ugliness that is presented to us of the unsaved man, of the old man, is that which we have to be saved from. And the very truth of the gospel has been brought to light in our hearts, and we have been brought out of darkness and into light. But you know, the very unfriendly thing and sad thing is that when we look into the mirror of the Word of God, we still see the elements of the old nature that are very much in the Christian's life. This is why Paul had to say to the Ephesians, "Him that stole, steal no more." Why would he be saying that to the child of God? Why would he be saying that to the Christian? Do you know why? Because the Christian still battles with the old nature. Those things are still in us. And you see, sadly, they come to the forefront too often. Vanity. Ignorance of the truth of God's Word. Being blinded from seeing the truth and the reality of the vision of the new man. Unclean thoughts, lustful thoughts, seeds of greed, telling things that are not fully truthful, being angry, being filled with things that are not right. All of these are, they're faintly there still in the Christian's life. And so we're being told by the apostle there is a warfare that's going on in the Christian heart. And I say to you, there's a parallel of the house of Saul and the house of David. But the rejoicing thing for us tonight, friend, is this truth, that the house of Saul is growing weaker and weaker as we go on with the Lord. The house of David, the spiritual man, is becoming stronger and stronger. Who are these combatants in this warfare? We're confronted with the old man. But also in Ephesians chapter 4, the command is in verse 24 that ye put on the new man. The new man. We are born again of the Spirit of God. We are born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. We are born, as we mentioned this morning, not of our own works. We're not born unto God by our own will, by our own desires, but it's the grace of Christ that has been revealed to us that has brought us to the point of seeing by the power of the Spirit of God that we are indeed sinful creatures that need salvation. And so being brought into this relationship of the new birth, what has it done for us? Well, it has revealed to us that we have been created in righteousness and in true holiness. The very word in verse 24 that Paul says to the Ephesians to encourage them, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Friend, this is your position now, tonight. This is my position as we stand in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been renewed. Because what we lost in the sin of Adam, as we sinned and fell in him, what we had forfeited has been given back to us in Jesus Christ. And we are now in him. And you know, this new man that we now possess, we are given a new identity. There's a new name that has been written down in glory. And that name has been written in the Lamb's book of life. I wonder, friend, tonight, is your name written in that book? Do you have a new identity with God? Are you under new ownership? Because if you have a new identity, because you are under new ownership, then most definitely you are going on a new direction. Because you have new thinking. We are now in Christ. We have been saved by His grace. We've been washed from our sins. And there is no longer now any condemnation against us. What a marvelous and a wonderful truth. Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And so the question comes to your mind right away, well, wait a minute. If you say there's no condemnation, if we have been made anew, what's Paul talking about here about this old nature and the new man? Why is there such a struggle that continues on? And I want to highlight to you then in the second place the reality of the war that we are in. The reality of the war. This is very much, friend, a personal war that has public consequences to it. Because the warfare and the battle is going on the inside of every Christian. Oh yes, we see the outside evidences of it when the devil is stirring up his crowd against the Church of Christ, against Christians, and the persecution that comes from without. But all of those things and the warfare that's going on, the reality of this is that it's inside the child of God. It's good for us to dwell upon our union with the Lord Jesus and all that we have to rest upon in Him. And to think about that rest is a good thing. To rest and to throw yourself back upon the Lord Jesus. To know that He will never leave and nor forsake. And therefore we are able to go forward knowing that we are in the victory of this spiritual man and that we are growing stronger and stronger. But that does not take away from the reality of the warfare that we are in each day. But I say to you tonight, to rest in our faith, though it is good, necessary, very, very important. We cannot leave it there alone. Because in some respects, as James argued, that faith without works is really not faith at all. It becomes dead faith. Because your faith, if it is true in the Lord, is going to be evidenced by the way in which we live. And in the same regard, when we think about resting on our faith as believers, we also must realize that there's going to be a striving against sin daily. And that striving against sin, oh, the flesh hates that. And the devil knows that our flesh hates it. And therefore, he will do everything in his power to set up his obstacles, his warfare against the child of God. The battle, my friend, is just that. And to miss this striving against sin in the great battle, it will fall prey to the ambush of our souls. The devil's after us all. Paul said that we have not so learned Christ. And he said that right on the heels of describing the pattern and the pathway of the Gentiles, of the very Ephesians, and what they had been delivered from, and the great catalogue of their sins. But he said, now you have been brought into the Lord, and you have not so learned Him because of the way of the former man. Look in verse 22. He says that ye put off concerning the former conversation or behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Putting off the old man. My, this is something that has to be done in every Christian's life every single day. Because we're also told to be renewed in the spirit of our minds and to put on the new man. And then, my dear friends, look at what he says. To follow on by putting on the new man. He says in verse 25, wherefore, put away lying. Is it possible that lies would come from the mouth of a Christian? It's obviously possible, or else the apostle would not address it here. The Lord would not have given that to him. It is possible for us to fall back, to lapse back into the old ways. And we must strive daily against the temptation to slip back. And look what it says in verse 26. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, ceasing from anger. Giving no place for the devil in our lives. those who once walked in untruthfulness, in thievery, are to engage in honest work. No corrupt speaking, edifying one another, not grieving the Holy Spirit. And my dear friends, it's all summed up in verse 31, where he says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." This requires of the child of God a devotion to Christ each day, a giving over of ourselves to the Lord. It requires this effort by the power of the Spirit of God with determination and conviction. And this is where I say, yes, let us rest upon our faith. We are most definitely to do that. But as I presented to you from James's epistle, if we rest on our faith only without the evidence of a changed life, then what is our faith? Our faith must be given the credence, given evidence by how we live each day. Because if we say one thing, as Saul did, but if we live another way, as Saul did, then it's evidence that that is not the way of the spiritual man. It's the way of the carnal man. It's the way of the old nature. And we want to distance ourselves from that and to realize, friend, the reality of the war that we are in our Christian life. But I want you to notice in the third place tonight something of the duration of this war, because we're told very clearly in the opening verse of 2 Samuel 3 that there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. Long war? But wait a minute, I thought Saul was dead now. He was no longer there. Ah, but that did not mean that the warfare was over. It seemed, in one sense, to be never ending. For David, at every turn, around every corner, there seemed to be someone who sought for revenge against the house of Saul. It didn't matter that such bitterness against David was unjustified, because you remember the many times when David had the opportunity of taking Saul's life. He was in the cave and there was Saul sleeping, and David was with his men, and David's men said, "Go, now is your opportunity. God has delivered him into your hand." He said, I will not set my hand against the Lord's anointed here." He committed Saul into the hands of God and said, "He will do with him according to his will, but I will not." And there were different occasions in the life of David in that battle where he did the righteous thing. And those who were around the camp of David, surely like Abner and those nearby, they knew that David was doing the righteous thing. But you see, friend, those who are filled with jealousies and envies and bitterness, they don't need justification to do what they're doing. But all they need is bitter resentment in their heart. And how does that come into the situation of what we're speaking about tonight? Let's bring it home to us personally. And let us think about the long warfare that there is inside us with the old nature and the new. And that warfare will not be over quickly. And I have some sad news for you, friend. It won't be over until the day of our death. It'll be with us. And now the question comes, are we surprised about that? And we shouldn't be surprised. Because as the old nature hates everything about Jesus, everything about Christ and His word. And as the world hated our Lord Jesus even and crucified him, who was a perfect man, did no sin, and only went about doing that which was good, of course, if the world hates him, it's going to hate us as well. And now bring that on the inside of our own nature. If the old nature is enmity against God, hatred against everything that is right and true, then let's not be surprised about that warfare. Let's not be surprised when it's going to last a long time. And we must realize that the duration of this war that is against the world, the flesh, and the devil on the inside of us, it can cause great discouragement, friend. There's no doubt about that. It can cause us, especially as we're trying to live above the world, we're trying to do that which is right. And yet we conclude, as Paul did, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death?" But then he stepped out forward and said, "Yet I can rejoice that there is victory for me in the victory of Calvary, the victory of the resurrected Christ." Friends, let's not be discouraged in this battle, for the promise of God is certain. And the promise of the Lord, as we've already been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Think about that next time you want to be cast down, next time you're mulling over your own failures. Think that you are seated already and glorified in the estimation of your Father in heaven. And that would take away from us melancholy thoughts. Take away from us ideas of depression and being cast down. Take away from us the idea of being defeated in self. No, friend, when we are prone to be dwelling over all of our defeats, let us realize, and I bring this in the fourth point tonight, of our certain victory in Jesus. The doctrine of the perseverance of the saints is a most blessed truth. Yes, we are weak in self. Yes, we will stumble and fall many times, but it is God who is working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Therefore, friends, let us not be cast down. Let us rejoice and to know that He that has begun a good work in us will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And He will bring us safely to our death, safely over that river, and safely brought into His kingdom. The devil has been defeated. Oh, I know it doesn't look like that sometimes, but Satan has been defeated, and we are called as God's people to walk and to live in the victory of our Lord's victory. Are we doing that? Are you doing that tonight, friend? Oh, I challenge you. Let us forever look into our own defeat and uncleanness. Look out and up to Calvary and to the glory of Jesus 100 times. And let us rejoice because He has been victorious over the devil. The devil has been put under Him. And remember this truth, that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And that will be the impetus, the motivation to take us forward in our Christian walk. And so we have the answer, friend. We have the answer to recognize that most definitely each day is a battle, and that we must die unto ourselves daily. The apostle said that, "I die daily unto myself, that I might live unto righteousness." We must know that our enemy is the one who is against us to stop us from being a testimony for the glory of Jesus. And if the devil can bring us to a point of hesitation, bring us to a point of just pondering in our own minds the choices that we make for good or bad. We pray that we will put ourselves always on the altar of sacrifice for service for Him. We will walk with the Lord each day, that we will know His daily reviving, that we will know the joy and the blessing of Christ's victory in us, that we will know the truth of being more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We're going home to glory soon to see the city bright. And let the pathway that we walk be the pathway of joy, the pathway of peace, the pathway of certainty, standing on the promises of Christ, our King. Does your heart tonight, friend, desire this? If it does, then you are truly saved by the grace of God, and you love the Lord Jesus. And in that, you will know and taste of His joy. Don't be settled and satisfied with the world's second best. But friend, if you don't desire that tonight in your heart, then the question is about your soul's salvation. And you need Christ now. You need to believe in Him. You need to receive Him. You need to repent of your sin. And I say that to you openly tonight. And if you're listening online, the word of the gospel goes out freely to you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's not a work of men. It's not a work of a pastor. Certainly not the work of the individual, but it's the work of God's Spirit in you. And as He extends and holds out to you the gift of everlasting life, take that gift, my friends. Believe on Him, for in believing you will have life, and you will have it more abundantly. Thank God the end of the story here is that the household of Saul was defeated. And the spiritual man, the household of David, was victorious, because it is a great picture of the victory of Christ inside every one of His children. And we will persevere to the end. And not by our own might or strength. We will persevere because of the Spirit of God that is working in us. Let us be thankful for that. Let us rejoice in that great truth. And may God encourage our hearts from His Word tonight. We're going to close with this hymn, number 593. Oh, for a faith that will endure, though pressed by many a foe. Let's stand, please, as we sing this together. Father, take the word tonight, we pray, and just reinforce this truth to our heart. We pray it will be applied by the power of the Spirit. Lord, we are so weak, we are so fickle, so feeble, and yet today we know we stand not in our own strength, but we stand and will go forward from strength to strength. Let us therefore hear the word of the Lord to our hearts. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Father, part us now, we pray, in Thy fear and with rich blessing. Take us to our homes safely, and Lord, make us a blessing in this incoming week, whether it be in the workplace, whether it be in the store shopping, wherever we go to meet someone, walking on the sidewalk, seeing neighbors. Lord, make use of us, we pray, and help us to be victorious. Let not the devil have the upper hand in any of our lives. We will know and rejoice in Him. Hear our prayers. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.